Rise. The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning. Our first case is 13-984, City of Independence versus the Office of the Cuyahoga County Executive et al. For the appellant, Mr. Gutowski.
Thank you, Your Honor. Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Brian Gutowski. I'm a county prosecutor with the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office of Tim McGinney. Seated at the trial table as well is counsel for the amicus, Tom Sherman. I represent Cuyahoga County in this case, and I'd request 3 minutes for rebuttal. Independence today asked this court to transfer ownership and maintenance responsibility for a bridge structure to Cuyahoga County by finding that a dead-end road is in fact a road of general and public utility. The city wants this court to ignore settled law and the fact that the municipality actually accepted this road as a municipal street almost four decades ago. We'd ask that this court decline that invitation and hold that under revised code 5591.02 and .21, a county has no duty to repair or replace a dead-end bridge structure that leads
to... Can that status ever change? You say it four decades ago it was accepted by the city. Can that change?
I think it can change, but certainly not in this instance, Judge. In this instance, by platting this out as a business enclave, back in 1960, there was no really development in this enclave. What happened was this bridge was a east-west road through Cuyahoga County, and in 1960, it was determined that there needed to be a new road constructed, and approximately 400 feet to the south of Old Rockside Road, they constructed what is now today called Rockside Road. It's a huge structure. It's a two lanes in each direction with a turn lane. The average car count on this particular Rockside Road is 24,300 cars a day. And in this case, on Old Rockside Road, in preparation for the hearing before the Board of County Commissioners, the engineer's office went to the location and tracked the usage of this particular bridge. And on average, on a two-day car count, on average, averaging both of those days, you had approximately 1,700 cars clicking the counter. And what that means, since all cars going there have to go back over this bridge structure, we can divide that in half. So essentially, you had 820 vehicles that were using the structure. So you compare 860 counts or vehicles to 24,300 vehicles, and there's just a huge disparity.
I've seen a fair number of traffic surveys, and I never saw one where they divided it in half.
Well, you probably haven't seen traffic surveys that go to isolated business enclaves, Justice Pfeiffer, and that's what we have in this case.
But the traffic surveys are generally for the purpose of determining the maintenance required and all of those kinds of things. So whether they're coming and going and staying a week or just for a day doesn't seem very relevant, does it?
Well, I mean, even if we use the number that was actually there, the 1,700 vehicles, Judge.
Well, what's the legal standard here? Your brief tries to bring in two legal standards, but the Court of Appeals and the trial court both found what?
Well, that's a good question, Justice Pfeiffer. It appears, after taking evidence, it's clear that the Board of County Commissioners has a determination to make, and that's a question of fact.
Okay, and what did the trial court find? What was the legal finding?
Right, the trial court gave us only three sentences. The first sentence was, I've reviewed the record. The second sentence was, I find this is a road of general and public utility as it lies between two municipalities.
And isn't that the legal standard?
No, that was invented. No court ever in Ohio jurisprudence has determined that because a particular structure happens to straddle two.
No. The first part.
Did she recite the correct words in her journal entry?
Yes.
I believe she did.
All right.
But the question is.
And so where does that leave us? Do we have to make a factual determination that the trial court erred in interpreting the facts?
I don't think so, Judge, because part of what a trial court and a court of appeals has to do is to construe the law, and there's plenty of law out there that says an appellate court maintains plenary review of issues of law, and an issue of law would be whether the correct legal standard is applied. There's no question of fact here. That's another reason. I mean,
well, but you just said she used the right words.
Well, she did use the right words, Judge, but what exactly the trial court decided was certainly unclear, and there were no issues of fact that remained to be decided. We stipulated to the record, we stipulated that there's no allegation that the counts were improper. There's no allegation that the map isn't what the map purports to be. There's no question of fact that the county vacated this as a county road and left it as a municipal street. In fact, the law director at the Board of County Commissioners hearing admits in the record that says, you know, there's no question here. It's actually a time marker, minute 6. There's no question here that Independence and Valley View maintain ownership of the road. And it's our assertion, and certainly Ohio law backs this up, that a bridge follows a road. It's not, there's no additional effort that needs to be done simply because this is a bridge. And the Court of Appeals strangely took issue with that. It said that the bridge structure was never vacated. Well, that's improper.
Well, counsel, is your real argument here that this is a general traffic, or excuse me, this is a local traffic bridge and not a general, and that's what you say in the underlying facts show, and you point to the volume of traffic. Do you have any other basis besides the fact that you've got almost 2,000 cars, you know, coming and going, and what else do you count on to say that the trial court got it wrong in the classification of a general utility?
As a matter of law, a road of general and public utility cannot be a dead-end road. A road of general and public utility.
In which case says that?
Well, we believe Pickwa v. Geis says that, Justice Pfeiffer, because what we're left with is interpreting the statute. That's our first goalpost here. There's two words in there. Necessary bridges. This court has interpreted the word necessary before to mean essential. This bridge is an essential to getting Ohioans from one end of the county to the other end of the county.
Did you say it's not essential?
Correct. It's not essential because we constructed a new bridge just 400 feet to the south.
It is essential to get to the businesses and what is located at the end of the bridge, correct?
That is correct, but let's take a look at who benefits from those businesses.
Okay, well, wait a second. Is there any other way to get to these businesses?
No, this is a business enclave, and you have to go over Old Rockside Road Bridge.
Okay, so it is essential to do that.
It is essential to get to that bridge, but again, when we're looking at an essential bridge or a necessary bridge, as the revised code says in the 5591.02, what is a necessary bridge? It's not necessarily to the Cuyahoga County Railroad or to Fred and Frick's metal fabrication that's located on that side of the bridge. What they're talking about in terms of a necessary bridge is necessary to traverse the county, necessary to go somewhere. The other important thing I want to take...
It has to be necessary to go from one end of the county to the other. That's what you're telling us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the case law backs that up.
Counsel, I'm getting a little confused listening to you this morning. Justice Pfeiffer asked you what's the legal standard, and the chief is asking you for the length of the bridge, but I'm looking at the Common Pleas Court entry. It says the Old Rockside Road Bridge is found to be a bridge of general and public utility, correct?
Right.
That's what the trial court said.
That's correct.
And then the Court of Appeals said, yeah, we agree.
Right.
What's the legal standard here this morning? Do you want us, in answer to the chief's question, to come up with mileage or distance? Because this bridge goes between two municipalities, does it not?
Justice, I would ask that this court find under 5591.02 and 2.1, a county has no duty to repair a dead-end bridge structure that leads to an isolated business enclave. That's simply not a road of general and public utility.
Would that be a case of first impression if we held that?
I don't think so, Judge. I think
where has it been held that way before?
This particular court hasn't necessarily interpreted these statutes because it was thought to be settled law up until this case came out. The last time this court...
What's the authority for us doing what you're asking?
Pickwa v. Geist and the Dumford test. And the Dumford test, again, is out of the 2nd District. Again, that case, the Dumford case versus Washington Courthouse, That's from 1967 as well.
What's the syllabus say in that case?
The Dumford case, if I have that here, indicated that roads of our general and public utility, the county is not responsible for roads of general and public utility because if it's for the use and convenience of the municipality, that's not thought to necessarily fall to the county. So what we would be doing here would be basically foisting off the responsibility for a bridge structure that Independence maintains the exclusive benefit for by, you know, collecting income tax from these businesses and property tax, the majority of which necessarily go to the local municipality schools, and pushing them on the residents of the county at large. There's no reason that a resident in Rocky River or a resident in Parma should have to pay for this local bridge structure in Independence, Ohio.
The county doesn't collect any taxes for the businesses located on the far side of the bridge.
Well, certainly the county collects some taxes, Justice Pfeiffer, but the majority of a business, you know, payroll information would go to the local schools. That's essentially a local concern.
Who has been maintaining this bridge up until this time of this litigation?
The city has been maintaining it now.
Which city?
The city of Independence. City of Independence primarily because, again, they're the ones that are deriving the benefit, but it is partially in Valley View as well.
Is Valley View paid for any of the maintenance of it?
I'm not sure exactly what type of cost-sharing arrangements Valley View and Independence may or may not have with respect to this.
I read that the city of Independence received a $2.5 million stipend or grant for maintenance of this?
Right, Justice.
When was that?
That was after the case was argued, actually, and that you're getting to another point that...
Who has that money today?
The money has been approved. Independence is a sponsor of this particular project, and 3 days after this particular case was argued to the 8th District Court of Appeals, 72 hours after they said, hey, look, this is a county bridge, they turned around and submitted a grant application to NOACA, the North Ohio Area-Wide Coordinating Agency.
Has the money been dispersed?
It hasn't been dispersed yet, Justice O'Donnell, but it is approved. These are federal monies. Basically, 80% of this project's replacements cost has already been approved by NOACA. So basically, federal money is...
Where is the $2.5 million today?
I think it's in Washington, D.C. at this point, but the project is slated...
Well, that'll be easy to get.
The project is slated to be completed, Justice O'Donnell. Frankly, by putting this on the county, they endanger this slate.
Does the county have any entitlement to that money, or only the city?
No, it's from the Municipal Bridge Fund, so that's strictly, related to municipalities. Here, Independence said, yes, this is, we're a sponsor for this project. We're, responsible for this. We would like to participate. We would like to apply for these monies. And again, 80% of the project's cost has already been approved by use of federal funds.
So you're saying that the $2.5 million equates to 80%? Who pays for the balance then?
The city would submit the remaining 20% or have to obtain funding through alternative means.
Did the city represent in their application for this NOACA federal dollars that it was a city-owned property, correct?
I believe they did, and that's in the record. It's attached to the amicus's materials. And again, it would have been in the trial court record, but obviously we can't put something in the record that didn't happen yet.
Was there an agreement between the county and the city that this was not going to be used against them at some time?
No, there was no such agreement. The main point to consider here is that this particular case throws a very big monkey wrench into what was thought to be settled law. And I see my red light is on, so I will reserve the balance of my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. O'Brien?
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. My name is Gregory J. O'Brien. I'm the law director of the respondent, the City of Independence. Chief Justice, let me dispense with my introduction and answer your question, a follow-up to Justice O'Donnell's question. The road, the NOACA application is not before this court. It's attempted to bring into this court. It was never considered by any of the lower courts. That was a byproduct of the county and city working behind the scenes to try and settle the case. And yes, the county was aware of that application. Stan Kozlowski from the county engineer's office helped facilitate. And in the body of that application itself, if the court were to consider it here in this court, on page 8, It clearly says who's the benefit for this bridge. And it says the county. And it says 1.8 million people will benefit from this bridge. So even if the court were to consider evidence that was never presented in the lower courts, which is unprecedented and unwise, it would be considering evidence of parties trying to mutually resolve their case. Behind the scenes.
Mr. O'Brien, then, are you saying that no matter how we rule in this case, it is not going to affect the $2.5 million that has been awarded?
Well, Justice Lanzinger, the question that is twofold. Yes, it will affect it because the county's only accurate point to this court was that it's part of a county, it's part of a municipal bridge fund. And if the money's always been in jeopardy, because both lower courts have decided that it's not a city, the city's not responsible for the maintenance and repair of that bridge. So it's always been there. Now, out of courtesy to both the county and the city, the money's been placed hold there. It's never been dispersed, Justice O'Donnell. It's sitting in there. It will go to another municipality when that time comes and goes.
So if we affirm, then you don't get the grant.
We don't get the money, but the county, since the trial court decided, the county is responsible for the repair and maintenance of the bridge. Justice Pfeiffer, to answer your question, the legal standard in this case, because it's an administrative appeal, it's not about the road. Everybody talks about the road. The road was vacated in 1967. The village of Valley View and the city of Independence have maintained that road. That's never been discussed. It's the bridge. It's the bridge under 559102 and 559121.
Mr. Gutowski says that the City of Independence, in some arrangement with the Village of Valley View, has maintained this bridge for decades before this litigation arose. Has that happened?
No. The only thing in the record, Justice O'Donnell, is that the county and city worked together to put some rock formation to help stabilize the soil. And so there was that, and that's referenced in the Court of Appeals decision. So if anything, the only thing in this record as to the bridge itself is that the county and city worked together to stabilize one part of the bridge. To go back to your question, Justice Pfeiffer, the question is, did the Court of Appeals, the legal question before this court, not a factual determination, this new theory that they're trying this court to buy into, is whether or not, by a preponderance of the evidence, the trial court was correct in reliable, probative, and substantive evidence. And as this court has ruled in the past, when it comes in through an administrative appeal, Court of Appeals is limited in scope, and this court is limited in scope to questions of law. There's no questions of law in this case. It's all factual argument, new factual argument. The trial court, now one thing that is skipped over and not even mentioned in the county's bridge is the other thing across this bridge, the other point across this bridge, is the Cuyahoga Valley Scenic Railroad, an historic railroad. Many of you may have taken children and grandchildren on the Polar Express. It's the only way to get to the depot. And in the evidence in this case, below this case, the trial court, I believe, weighed that factor that over 75,000 people loaded that bridge and jumped on that bridge every year. And they had to cross that bridge to get there. There's
Counsel,
no other way to get there.
How does that number, with the 75,000 people a year who use the railroad, how does that square with the evidence regarding the traffic? And why are those two numbers so different?
Good question, Justice French. And I think that can be found in the Court of Appeals case as well. When they opined, the Court of Appeals opined a two-day traffic study done, I don't even know if the dates were, but I believe it was October of that year. The trial court certainly was in its rights, and in this case, the trial court and the county argued, dress it up as a legal question, the county argued that it was a dead-end road and the traffic count, but nowhere in the statute does it say traffic count is dispositive. It's just one fact.
But I guess in answer to my question, the traffic that's going to the railroad is really seasonal, or at least different seasons depending on what's happening there. So that two-day traffic study was presumably done at a point where
off-season,
there really wouldn't be traffic going. Okay.
But we do know evidence in the record also is by the Cuyahoga Valley Scenic Railroad CEO, who says that in the year in question, the year before this went to trial, is that 75,000 people boarded a train. And the only way to board that train is through the depot. And the only way to get to that depot is over the road and over the bridge. So it's the bridge that's in question here under the relevant statute. So The trial court, and it, the county forgot to mention this when they stood up to you, the trial court, but I believe Justice O'Neill said the trial court also found that it's a road of general and public utility. Now, the amicus brief wants to make a big deal that both courts were focusing on the bridge. That was the whole case. The facts are the same, and the facts were always presented to the court, what use and what functionality this road served. And I suspect the county will make a big to-do about bridge, that they ruled on a bridge. You can't, they're intertwined. The facts are the same. Even if this court were to take the wrong position, which I believe respectfully, and send it back, the facts aren't going to change. 75,000 people use that bridge. Countless businesses use that bridge, many of them regional, statewide, and many of them nationally. And that was the facts, and both courts agreed. In this case, the Court of Appeals held that they found that the trial court's decision in this case, when it took additional evidence, which was its right based upon the affidavit that the respondent filed, they took additional evidence of the trial court, and based upon that, they found that the Court of Cuyahoga County Commissioners were unreasonable and arbitrary. And so, therefore, I would submit to you that the two lower courts followed and correctly applied the law. And Chief Justice O'Connor, I agree with you. They not only followed it, they got it right. The mere fact that 75,000 people cross that bridge yearly to ride that historic train, to go through the national park alone, meets the standard in 5591.02 and 5591.21. Piqua, I agree with the county. Piqua is a perfect case of what is not a road of general public utility. And if you read that case closely, it wasn't a state road, a county road, and in the body of that case, it wasn't even an improved road. The court found it wasn't an improved road. It was solely created for the city, for the city's use. It wasn't a general road for the public. So I would submit to you that both courts got it right. I submit to you that there's no legal argument in this before this court. The county would ask that you delve into the facts of this case. And I would submit to you to affirm the lower court's decision.
When you argue to us, you're asking us to affirm the decision. What I'm confused about is, why did the city apply for a $2.5 million grant to repair it if the city maintains it doesn't have an obligation to do that because that obligation belongs to the county?
Justice,
that's what I don't understand.
Justice O'Donnell, it's very simple that the city applied for that grant when we're entering into settlement negotiations. First of all, the grant's not before this court. It's attempt to bring brought in. It's not in the record. Second of all, that the parties got together and said, let's try and resolve this. Won't give you all the meat and potatoes of the try and the resolution, but one of them was everybody go out and try and seek funding, okay? And part of that settlement, again, which is not before this court, was at the end, after a new $75,000 bridge, the county would agree to inspect the bridge in perpetuity, and at the end of that 70-year lifespan, the city to resolve the case, because it's an expensive bridge structure, the city always maintains the road, is 75 years from now, the city would agree, all right, even though it's contrary to law, if it's a good settlement. But again, to consider that grant, Justice O'Donnell, would be to consider a fact, A, not in evidence, and also a fact, as you correctly pointed out,
Counsel,
the Smith
case. Counsel, you said a $75,000 bridge structure.
I'm sorry, I misspoke.
That wouldn't be right, would it?
No, it'd be a $6 million bridge structure. And to answer one of the justices, I forget, question is the fact that it's for general use, certainly that should be borne by the county, as opposed to a more limited city use like the Piqua case, and that should be borne by the taxpayers of the City of Independence. Thank you.
Counsel, you've saved a little bit under 2 minutes.
Thank you, Justice. Judge O'Donnell, there are conflicting factual representations here in the record. We think this is the perfect case to apply a judicial estoppel bar. You can't go around playing fast and loose with the courts, and it seems like that's what we're doing here. We're saying to the Court of Appeals, this is a county bridge, and 72 hours later we're saying, we'll apply, we'll take the money, it's a city bridge for that purpose.
Well, they're two different forums, and when you're in an expensive proposition such as this, the city can hardly be blamed for hedging their bets here, not knowing how this was going to turn out, still in litigation.
Sure. Well, what it would do, though, if this court were to affirm, there's approximately 900 municipalities in the state of Ohio, 90 cities, 650 villages. There's a lot of those tight budgets here that would love to, you know, put this up the food chain and put on bridges that were thought to be local roads forever and a day on a county.
Well, depending on how we rule, there may be $2.5 million available for those other places.
Well, I'm not sure about that. You know, certainly it might be the money has long since been gone. But at this point in time, there is an approved way to finance construction of the bridge. We believe if the court were to affirm, it upsets settled law. Again, turning to that Dumford case, which is out of Fayette County.
Counsel, let me ask you the legal standard one more time, because I still don't think I've had an answer to my question.
Right.
Do you agree with your opposing counsel that we are to affirm if it is supported by preponderance of the evidence, or are we the second appeal at which point we're looking for unreasonable?
I believe that this court maintains plenary authority to review issues of law, and here the trial court got it wrong because she applied the incorrect legal standard. There was no show us your work. There was simply a substitution of the trial court judgment for the judgment of the Board of County Commissioners. And in this case, the law is clear that the Board of County Commissioners reserves the right to dedicate which and determine which roads.
Again, counsel, you're not answering my question. What legal standard are you asking this court to apply to this case today?
I believe that the issue is simply that the 8th District applied the incorrect legal standard and that this court maintained.
So it's contrary to law.
Exactly. It's contrary to law. You maintain plenary authority to review the statutes and apply to make those determinations. And in this case, this court should reverse the judgment of the 8th District and send this back. Frankly, on this
fact was found by the trial court that Old Rockside Bridge is not a road of general or public utility. And that was a substitution of the finding that had been made by the Board of County Commissioners to the contrary.
Absolutely, because
and your argument is that the trial court substituted its judgment for that of the board, and it can't do that.
That's absolutely right, Justice O'Donnell. And the only rationale that the trial court gave is an incorrect one that invented law out of whole cloth. The rationale that the trial court gave was as it lies between two municipalities.
Therefore, your argument is that the appellate court abused its discretion in affirming what the trial court had done because it should have found the facts as determined by the Board of County Commissioners. That's your argument.
That's correct, Judge O'Donnell.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Thank you. We'd ask the
Thank
court
you.
Reverse.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Thank you, gentlemen.